title of her presentation is Genome Databases for the Rosaceae, a resource-efficient triple database platform for genomics, genetics, and breeding research.
Quite a title.
Yeah.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Kevin, for the opportunity to present today. So I'm presenting on the genome database for Rosaceae, but actually it's pretty generic to all the databases that we develop in my program. We currently have the databases for five crop groups, and we have the Rosaceae, which is largely what I'm going to talk about today. A lot of the fruit and one of the nut crops in there. And the citrus, we have cotton gin, the vaccinium database, and then one of the legume ones, the cool season food legume database. So when we were developing databases, we take into account the different types of crops that we're working with, and can we develop it to be generic enough that we can implement one thing between all the databases, and we develop it for one of them, can we put it in the other databases? One thing I should note here is that these crops here represent a farm gate value of about $23 billion. Together, they're very valuable crops. They are all examples of community databases, and I just wanted to remind ourselves why community databases have become even more important. And I think you can see that from the presentations that have gone before, especially David's one, for example, when you see the functionality that Soybase have, the usability of that database is incredible. It's an incredible resource. So databases have been around, community databases have been around for about 25, 27 years, something like that, since the original ASDB ones. And they've always been important, but perhaps they're becoming even more important with big data, and you've heard a bit about that today in several of the talks. It used to be, you know, that large labs sequenced organisms or developed high-density maps. Well, it's been a game-changer, next-generation sequencing data. Now, individual labs can sequence whatever they want. They can essentially do whatever they want with the organism of choice. And I teach a bioinformatics for research graduate class at WSU, and six of my students this year are plant pathologists. These are students that are generating next-generation sequence data. They're sequencing genomes, they're doing transcript analysis, they're doing GBS. And so it's very much changed now the scope of the size of the data, and also I think the complexity of the data. And it's going to get even more complex with large-scale phenotype and phenomics data. We're not quite sure yet what we're going to do with that, but it's coming, and it will be the next game changer in terms of how we do our science. The database challenge, for my group, we started working on the genome database for Rosaceae 14 years ago. We got funding 13 years ago from the NSF Plant Genome Research Programme. And originally we were working on Prunus, and then we submitted a grant to develop this database to NSF. And they said, well, rather than just do Prunus, can you also do the whole of the Rosaceae family? And they gave us a bit more money, which was very nice to do that. So we've been developing GDR for a lot of time. We've been the databases that I work with, or rather the crops that I work with, are what we call orphan crops, in the sense that there is no federal flow through of money to any of these crops, even though together they're all, even individually they're important, but there's no federal flow through of money. But we've been very fortunate because we've had a lot of industry support and federal support to develop these databases. So GDR has been funded for the last 14 years from federal sources, and it's funded for the next four through federal sources as well. So when we started developing these databases, GDR was developed with its own custom schema, its own custom interfaces, just like all our databases, right, the way that we develop them. But then we realized when the cacao, so it was actually USDMR, USDRs came to us and Mars and said, would we develop a cacao genome database for them? And that's when we had to stop and think, well, we could do another iteration of GDR and do cacao, but that's not probably that efficient to do that. And at that point, two researchers at Clemson University, Stephen Ficklin and Meg Staten, had come up with a more generic platform, pretty much in its infancy, but certainly this was the basis of Triple. And it was essentially a transcriptome database at that point. We weren't able to utilize it for large-scale phenotype and genotype data, which is why we had to develop the natural diversity model in module in CHADO to accommodate that. But anyway, it was an interesting system, and it made sense that if we were going to do this, then we also adopted and helped co-develop the system. That's essentially what's happened. We did that for our databases. Some researchers at the University of Saskatoon also have been development, and now it's used by about 30 or 40 databases around the world, either as a community database platform or as a project database platform. So our challenge was that we have to have community databases. First of all, they're easy to use. No one will use them if they're not easy to use. They're easy to manage and update. And one of the previous speakers showed you how easy it was to do things in Triple. You know, it's an interface. In terms of managing the behinds of that, you can do that very easily through the system. It has to be scalable and fast to be able to accommodate big data. It uses Chado. We're not sure how scalable it's going to be in the long term, but it's being stress tested right now, but we have another solution for that should it become a problem. It has to be resource efficient. So the nice thing about Triple is that these modules, you can download them from the triple.org site, triple.info site that I'll show you. There's now a whole community of people developing these modules. The University of Saskatoon developed a pedigree module, for example, that we're going to implement. Stephen's group are developing modules that we will use. As long as we share those modules, put them onto that public repository, they're available for other people to use them or modify them. It's all completely open source, which is a rather nice model. For us, we wanted a common open source interoperable platform. It doesn't really matter what platform you use as long as you expose your data so that other databases can use it. You don't have to use Triple, clearly, but it'd be nice, and most of the databases have moved to this way of doing things now where we make our data available computationally for other resources to access it so that we're not all replicating the data or storing it, multiply storing it. And then for us, with our databases, we had to come up with a model for self-sustaining in the medium term. So if you're one of those databases like ours where you don't have a federal flow through of money, then you've got to always be thinking about where you're going to get the funding. You don't want to develop these and then disappear or go away. And so we've come up with a model through the NRSP10 project, which is an industry collaboration with government funding. So that in the next 4 to 10 years, we develop all the resources that are needed, and then what industry does is buy in by adding curator positions to the database. And then we want it to be able to easy adopt for other crops or projects that we might want to work on. So here's Triple. I'm not going to go into this in too much detail, but essentially it does use a very well-known, very well-used content management system, Drupal, that comes with a lot of functionality that we can use. It uses Chado, this generic database schema that's a biological, you can do any biological organism can be modelled in Chado. It's very flexible. It can mean it's a little bit, something's hard to use, but once you've got a handle on it, it's okay. And then what Triple does is provide Drupal modules as the web front end for Chado, and it includes data uploaders, it includes APIs, for example. So this is the standard. Right now the version is version 2.0 has been released. And then we have all these extension modules, which is the extra modules that we as individuals in our own groups develop. Triple has kind of been successful partly because it's a good idea, but also because it's been supported, widely supported by the community. We have people who actually respond, Stephen Ficklin, Meg and Lacey, who respond to queries that users might have or people who want to use it might have about Triple. And we're going to have, I'm just going to highlight this right now, we're having a code fest at San Diego on the Friday before PAG, where Triple developers were there and we'll work on some common problems that we have. A new grant that's just about to be funded will actually have a week-long workshop for developers to come together and do some more work on it. This just shows you that when we develop these databases, we're really looking to satisfy very different types of users, so from the basic translational to the applied user, and we're trying to do this all in one portal, including very much the breeding portal component of it. But also we have our computational biologists that we want to satisfy as well. They want to be able to have access to the data. So here we have our data types, here we have integrated, we add all the ontology, you've heard a lot about that earlier today. We do computational analysis to add value to the data where it's necessary, and I'll explain that in a minute. And then we have a whole series of tools that are useful, and of course all the community building parts to it as well, and communication. I'm not going to go into all this, but basically GDR is apple, almond, all the crops I showed you earlier. We have annotated genome sequences. One thing that Triple has, which is a very nice component to, is that when you get the gene models from the genome sequences, we do functional annotation of those and do interpose scan, get go terms, blast descriptions, for example, and make all that searchable through our gene database. We have annotated unigenes for the genera and for the family. I'll explain a little bit more. That those unigenes were based on ESTs, and it struck us that there's all this data out here, this next generation sequencing data. And while people do submit their next generation sequencing raw reads to the short read archive at NCBI, they're pretty much useless for biologists. You can't really do anything with them. Biologists can't take 40 million reads and assemble them into anything. And then most papers, if you read an RA-seq paper, they may say that the contigs are available somewhere, but you try and find them, they're hard to get because NCBI doesn't take them. And so those are actually a tremendous resource. So we've actually developed what we call a triple RefTrans pipeline, which is taking all the publicly available published, so they're associated with an actual peer-reviewed manuscript, together with ESTs and made now reference transcriptomes for the crops that we're working on. We also have pathway data using the PlantSeq database structure. And we have all the community array data. So one thing that GDR has been very fortunate with is we have a really great community of users. The Rosaceae community have really bought into the database. And so any large project that's either a sequencing or some sort of SNP array development community project, and we are involved in right at the beginning. And so we know what data is coming. We help advise. We help do analysis, and which means we get the data into the database. And we have about 150 genetic maps right now, and we have search engines within the database for lots of things. And then we have genotypic, phenotypic, and breeding data, and I'll show you a little bit of that, including decision tools for breeders. We also have something called GenSAS that we've developed, which is a genome sequence annotation server, and it's pretty much a one-stop site, online site for doing genome annotation and manual curation. It integrates JBrowse and WebApollo within there. It has not just structural tools in there, but functional annotation tools. It takes large data sets. We actually developed it for the loblolly pine genome, which is about 22 gigabases, and that can all be analysed on an online portal. And we're about to release version 4 with that, and the next version we're actually going to release all the source code so that it can be implemented in other people's systems. But one of the things that we're doing with GenSAS in terms of our genome databases is fully integrating it within the, to make it that users can go in, we're doing the same thing David's done. Nothing will actually be accepted, but you will get the opportunity to do curation. That information that you report back to us will come to a curator who looks at that and then makes a decision of whether to accept it or not. And we have all the standard type tools like BLAST on there and other sequence retrieval tools. Okay, so here's GDR. So I'm just going to give you a quick example. So this is GDR in its current form. We're actually redoing this right now into a mobile-friendly platform, and I'll show you one example of one of our databases we've already done. But what I wanted to show you here was our Breeders Toolbox. And so this is publicly available data, also privately available breeding data that our breeders who have an account in here have provided. Where a breeder has provided their private data, it's fully integrated with the public data. So they then have access to both the public and private when they log on, and they control who accesses their data. So they can, because there's Drupal management behind it, they can assign privileges to people to access their data. For example, a new graduate student might have the ability to look at the data but not edit the data, for example, until they're trusted. Another thing I wanted to point out here to you is that we have just published a manuscript with the Rosaceae community on standardising nomenclature for gene naming. And as part of that, we contacted all the journals that accept gene information for rosaceous crops, so we know where they're published, and they have agreed to try and enforce this standardisation of nomenclature for us. Okay, so this was, I showed you a toolbox there. So this is just the coming into the toolbox. We don't particularly like this format right now. We're changing that in our new design. But so you select the crop or the crop breeding crop group. You can browse by variety, search phenotype, genotype data by these various categories, by variety or trait or parentage. And then we actually have a whole slew of things down here as well that we're using. So I'll just give you an example. Here's an example of a scientist wants to search which tart cherry varieties have the desired traits of interest. And so here they came onto the tart cherry. They can restrict the data set by year, location, or by site, or both. In this particular case, this is probably not too viewable to you, but they've decided to choose soluble solid contents, with a minimum of 16 titratable acids at more rates of 1.2 and weight greater than 6, actually should be 10. And so they go ahead and submit those values, and then they would get, well, these are the varieties that have those trait thresholds, those traits that you wanted at those threshold levels. They can then download the search results, and here they get to select which other traits they want information on. So they, you know, they search by certain ones, but they may want to know some of the other characteristics, other trait values associated with those varieties, and so they can select those. And I should mention that within here is the actual traits that are in here, of course, are dependent on what the breeder gives us. And then they can download it either as wide form or long form, depending on what they want to do it, and have the email, have it sent to them in this large data set. One thing I should have mentioned back there as well is, at this point, if they want to go in this, so you can see these are, clearly this is on the private breeding portal right now, because these are breeding lines. If I click and go into that, I'll find out all the associated information about that database. So as David mentioned, it doesn't matter what point you come into the portal, you should be able to drill down to the very finest level of detail. And often you find out things there that you hadn't, you know, the scientists hadn't thought they would be available to them, but it actually is. So wherever you come in, you get to the finest level of detail for that particular search that you're doing. Okay. Here's a tool we have called CrossAssist, and what this does is it basically generates a list of parents and the number of seedlings you need to plant out to get a minimum number of seedlings that have a high probability having the three thresholds that you requested. Okay, I'll be quick here, honestly. So here you could have a selected apple, and it's got we have information in the database. This is pulling out information from the database. So we have performance, breeding values, and or DNA-based functional genotypes if we have that information in the database. So here you can see we've said we want 100 seedlings that have these thresholds, and you can see these are pre-populated with information from the database. And if you want to know what the outliers are, you can also see the histogram of those data points. So then it goes away and does a search, and it comes back with a table like this. And so you can see here it's saying these are the number of seedlings you'd have to cross to get 100 that would have, these number of seedlings that you would need to get 100 that would have a high probability of having the traits thresholds of interest. You can also do further filtering. If you just say, well, I definitely want to have Honeycrisp as one of my parents, then you could filter that there and further filter that. You can filter by different types of confidence in the data. So work in progress. We're currently converting GDR to 222 with a new theme. So I'm just showing you what we have here for the cool season food legume database. And so what we're trying to do is make it simpler for people to get to where they want. So if they come in one of the crops, they'll be able to see immediately all the data and all the tools are available for that crop of interest. If they have more generic questions, they can come in here and click on these, and these all have drop downs in here. Under development, a triple breeding information management system, very similar to what the BMS system that you saw earlier. That is under development. We actually have to have our first version of that available for March for the Cotton Breeders Workshop at the Beltwide. And we're doing further work on GenSys. We're enabling web services so people can access all the data. Stephen mentioned earlier about Intermine capability, and that's a database where you upload all your data to Intermine and then you can cross-query it. What we're actually trying to do as part of a new NSF grant is to create that capability from your database without having to go anywhere else, so you can be able to cross-talk with other databases to do that. We're adding in workflow analysis capability. You can do all the analysis you want from your community database. You'll be able to access iPlant, Galaxy, all the data in your community databases, and then data that might be relevant in other community databases that expose their data. So the point is that the scientists can go in and be able to, from one portal, get everything that they want. That's the goal, anyway. We're adding in geolocation environmental data, so we really want to take advantage of all the environmental data out there, so we can start to ask basic questions, scientific questions, as well as applied. Can we predict how a new cultivar will perform under this environmental conditions? And in everything we're doing, because of this issue we might have with Chado, we're not sure yet, we're making it database back-end independent. So in other words, if you don't want to use Chado, you can be able to use any other database you want, and it will still work with Turpin. And then, so here's what we want to avoid. Scientists without an up-to-date comprehensive research database, look at the coffee, tired eyes. This is what we want, a button-clicking, energised scientist using an up-to-date database to help make research decisions. And I think actually with David's database, that's probably what they're already getting for soybean. Hopefully they'll get it for the rest of them. And this is the team that will work in it. We work around the country, it's bioinformatics. You don't need to physically be located in the same place. I think that's it. And these are all the funding sources right now. Currently we have about $10 million for the next 10 years to develop TRIPLE as a combination of the industry and federal support from USDA and NSF. Sorry, did I go over?